Helen P. Onyet is being interviewed today as a member of the Women's Overseas Service League by Ruth F. Stewart. The date is April the 8th, 2004, and we're at the Air Force Village 1 in San Antonio, Texas. Colonel Onyet, would you start out by telling a little bit about where you were born and your early life?
I was born in Waterbury, Connecticut. August 14th, 1918. I was one of three children. My parents had a laundry in Waterbury, Connecticut.
And your schooling there, was that in public schools?
I went to public school, grammar, as well as high school. I took the preparatory college course because first they put me in a vocational school, but I asked them to change. And from then on, I was on my way. After that, I entered the Waterbury Hospital School of Nursing, and I guess it was 1938. And I had 8 years of a nursing school education with the graduate nurse degree. After that,
8 years.
Mm-hmm, 8 years.
In what? In the hospital?
No, I was in the grammar school.
But when you went into the Waterbury Hospital School of Nursing, wasn't that like 3 years, like most
That's
of
right.
them? Okay.
I'm sorry, back up.
Yeah, okay.
I went to high school 4 years.
Yeah.
And then I entered School of Nursing mm-hmm. at Waterbury Hospital. That's the same area that I was born.
Mm-hmm. And what got you interested in nursing?
Well, my father had a laundry, and every time we had customers, I was always curious what they did and the kind of uniform they wore. There was this lovely woman who was World War I Army nurse, and she wore sparkling white collars and apron. She brought her collars and cuffs into the laundry, and we talked a little bit, and she told me what she did. I was involved with her, and I got interested in it, and she was such a picture of knowledge that I wanted to imitate her, because most of our people in the town are factory people, mm-hmm. or some other less professional jobs. And after that, I saw some other people. They were my seventh-grade teachers and my brother's teacher and also the principal of the high school. They also got interested in because we were sort of the first children of Chinese descent, and my sister and brother are Catholic people, and I was the only one attending school with students. Minded.
Were you the oldest?
So I spent a couple of nights with the school teacher. She got me acquainted with peers, also more about homekeeping. And the Sunday school teacher invited me, and they taught me manners. And at that time, we had none. My parents had very well schooling. And after that, they taught me how to use silverware, use china. And at home, it was unheard of to use anything but chopsticks. So I profited from that, plus their companionship. Then my principal was remarkable. He wrote a vocabulary book. And every student had to take that course. strange to say, I made it in his class. I could smell like a witch, and I had a good vocabulary, which I retained to this very day. And I really admired him, and he gave me the idea about professionalism. And after that, when I was in nursing, my nursing arts teacher was a wonderful example of a nurse. She did everything perfect and had the manner of a person that liked people, and she did a beautiful job. Some of the other people who encouraged me were the other teachers in the school, either by one manner of their subject, but then some I remember leastly because of their lack of skill. For instance, I have to say that we were a very prudish school. Most of our instructors were from a nursing school that were very prim and proper and strict. So as a result, when it came to study diseases of reproductive system and bacteria, it was read your book. That was the way we learned. Also, if you thought I didn't understand pharmacology, she would always make me put the test over there on drug inclusion. You should say, I chopped an A in this card. And I said to her, "You so-and-so?" I said, "I really knew the subject." And then after that, there were various teachers in high school and college that stimulated me because of their knowledge. You want some more?
So then you went through the 3 years at the Waterbury Hospital School of Nursing. And what did you do when you got out of that, when you successfully completed that education?
In the 4 years of high school, and I took a short course in business because I developed a little pleurisy. I couldn't go to work or anything. So I learned how to type and shorthand. So in a way, I never wasted any time I took the school.
And then what got you interested in the Army?
Well, about that time, unless you want to go to the factory or work in the firing pen, you had to work on duty, cut job. And I decided the Army needed me, and I would go. And my brother was also in the Army, and I wanted to go help him out.
Yeah, it was right at the beginning of World War II, right?
Yeah. And so I applied to the Red Cross because they got in the recruiting program. They did a wonderful job of recruiting. That's why they had so many nurses in the Corps, because after them, we were not getting any nurses. And of course, it was post-depression time, so it was difficult to do anything of that nature which required schooling. After that, I was on my way to the Army, and I started my adventure. It was the most positive experience I've ever had. I did things in the Army which later on developed in great presence and knowledge, experience, not because I looked for it, but because they happened to be there. And life wasn't going across the sea. We were out for a shipboard drill, and the commander would tease us a little bit by flipping our life belt. And all I could do was to grit my teeth and say in my teeth, "You so-and-so." And he laughed, and I laughed, and I backed up. And I said, "After that, I better be careful." So a little incident kind of push you on. Going surgery is, of course, a strange experience for a girl, from anywhere, a homebody. And I learned how to meet people, how to know them, how to understand them. And up to then, I was really shy. But you get along with them when you're on shipboard, and all these hungry soldiers are praying by their stateroom on their way to meals, which were very few for them and just adequate for us. And so we pass out the window our apple or our piece of food we had at breakfast, or maybe a sandwich or some little treat. And they loved it, so we had a very heavy population of visitors.
Yeah. You shared the wealth.
And on board ship, we had playtime or free time on the deck. And you said, I've never been on a ship. I don't know if I'm going to get here sick. And the guy said, why, there's somebody from my hometown. And you look around, there's somebody from Oklahoma. And you say, well, ask them what they did and how they did it and what did they learn. And at that time, they were all singing Pistol Packing Mama. And I said, oh, that's your theme song. They all laughed at me. I said, they didn't hear me. Oh, no, it's a popular song. And all of us sing it, especially in months. And I said, I'm sorry, I didn't know because I'm locked in the dormitory and they won't let us out. And they laughed at that. They didn't believe it was true. And so you learn to be the outdoor person. And as a result of it, I met many friends. One of them was the brother of the chief surgeon of my hospital. And when he found out I was from that place, he wandered up in men and he got a little party of officers and asked me to bring nurses, and we had a party at his camp. And it was wonderful. He did it so all the time.
Now, this was still while you were on shipboard?
And I was just overseas, just got there. And the thing is, we were so shy, we had to go to the bathroom. And so we kind of whispered, and the girls get kind of antsy. So finally, the colonel said, ladies, we have now the moon house. What's called the
outhouse?
The outhouse. And these gentlemen will escort you. They will guard you with you because we have a lot of other enemies hanging around.
This was after you landed then?
Yeah, after you landed.
And we was this in North Africa?
We didn't know what it was.
Oh.
So when we got there, I see this little wooden structure with a half moon, and it's midnight, and I looked in there, and it smelled wonderful. I always heard they were kind of smelly. But meantime, the officer would parade back and forth, questioning who was there, and we felt very secure. And then took us back. Unfortunately, I'm one of these people who have frequency, and as a result, I had to go off. Well, I got well acquainted with the officers. Later on...
No, was this in North Africa that you landed?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so later on, we served with their unit two or three times, helped out the men. They served in our unit outside officers who had different jobs of nursing. And we kind of prayed around. Our services were varied. We did everything from helping a person be comfortable down to putting on the bandages and controlling breathing. Then it got serious. Started getting the shock cases and people who need surgery right away. And we learned the concept of the different words for meaning. Expectant, that means expected to die, and those are the ones that don't need any help anymore.
The triage.
Because they're going to be fading away. And the pregnant, because it couldn't do anything for them because they just had a baby. And then we have the first aid, which is imminent, which those need right to control breathing shock. So we learn fast and kind of put everything in our step and learn it once. And we
have a hospital building. What kind of facility?
We were in a tent hospital, and it was cold and blazing. And it was a tent on a wooden floor. Some people didn't have floors, so the wind would creep up under the tent. All right. Some didn't have enough protection, and the boys would be kind of generous. They give us their army blank, plus our four. And then we had German war blankets. But the quilts that they had, these are our souvenirs. We got them when we have them going to Germany. And we got to sleep in our tents 24 hours a day, and maybe one day a week. We got a pass to go to town, and they had a room in one of the hotels with the special name for it, meaning it was like a vacation. And so we go in there once a week we had time and slept overnight and then come back to camp and always enjoy it.
You lived in tents with wooden floors. Were the patients in tents too?
They were brought in whenever there was a movement. If there was a movement going on, we got an influx of maybe 100 to 150 patients. And we worked night and day to get them underway. We had an operating room, we had medical surgical wards. Plus we had all the little specialties, and they were all gathered in the tent, mixed up.
They were in tents too then?
Yeah. So as a result, we learned many occupations and got acquainted with what else you would do if you wanted to find there ordinarily. And we had the best warrant officers who were the mess officers. Needless to say, was very hard to eat overseas in tents. We didn't have enough food. We had food rations, which were unbearable. Sometimes it was impossible to eat. And so our mess officers were ingenious. We at least had meat occasionally, maybe once a week. And we always had milk. And then sometimes we didn't have nothing, but he took care of us. We always had bread and butter, because we had a bakery on the post, and plenty of butter. I guess they had some friends off post. But everyone worked together on it, and they knew how to moose each other. I worked frequently 24 hours a day, and all the nurses did that. We had corpsmen who worked hard, and then no griping, no bitching, just go ahead and do it. It's got to be done. And on night duty, which is one of the worst periods, we worked 12 hours night duty. And I remember, I'll say the ward boys, I'm going to be in 10, 2, 3, and 4, and I'll spend half the night with one, half the night with two, and so forth. I varied among all the ward boys. So every time I went, they saved up the coal for the coal stove and had it warm home. They were just wonderful. And then for the patients, I always made cocoa, or I made bread, or some kind of snack once in the evening. And I made them work, and they had to get out of bed and stir the cocoa, or watch the flies and that sort of thing. So really, it was good playtime, and it kind of gave me a good mood. And it's real, we didn't have anybody who was out of order or gripe. And I really enjoyed it. Only it was cold. So then, when I go to bed, I have 6 or 7 blankets on me, and they did manage to get them in. And I wore long johns under my fatigues, under my green khaki uniform. And then that morning, I was shedding them off. I was dousing my long johns when all of a sudden, "Helen, you got the alert, you're going to go home." I said, "Oh, no, no, no." There I walking around, half an undershirt on, and running around. And then I got dressed. They said, "Oh, it's called off." Well, they did that so many times. I got to the point where I didn't care. I'll come. And it was kind of funny because the girls had accumulated things.
Had what?
Accumulated.
Yeah.
Like weapons and maybe a silver tube sort of thing. We all learn how to do that. And it's not a shame to go to ask a thing and then to get them. But we were warm, we shared them, and we're comfortable. So most of the girls are in good humor. And occasionally we'll have one had to be sent home because of they were pregnant or some other reason. But they had to go home, much of it. And but the work was hard. It was 12-hour nights and, of course, 12-hour days.
Did you have a chief nurse there, or who was in charge of your nursing there?
Well, we had a captain at that time who was usually chief nurse, and she'd go around and give pep speeches, and sometimes she was ironic, saying, "I hope you can do these this month. And we looked at her and said, "Oh dear," one of those things. And they had to go to the PS and try and get them reinforcements, and sometimes they were out. But we were told in preparation for overseas to put them in a bedding roll. I don't know who did that, but I would stack up, and I had about 2 or 3 boxes of Kotex in my bedding roll, and I layered in there. But I had talcum powder, and the can became burst, and there was pink napkins. I smelled wonderful for about 3 months. But anyway, I used that, and we packed extra diapers because of that thing, because we sure there were a ton of shortage. But most of us were well prepared for our tour duty, because in the overseas talk, they would tell us what we need, what we should do, and not too much. We always had huge bedding rolls.
How long were you in North Africa then?
I had a good 2.5 years on duty in the army, and then I re-upped. And
Was through World War II,
yeah,
through your 3.5 years.
Yeah, the discharge at the end of the 3 years.
Were you in North Africa the whole time?
Yeah, I came back to Virginia for the last year, and I was stuck there for almost a year. And I said, well, I like that. I like to stay put until I re-up. And I didn't have any term set. I just laid it indefinite. So I stayed more about 5 or 6 weeks. But all the time, we went from different camps, and I got married. And we were able to be together most of the time. And sometimes we get sick.
He was in the Army, too.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to see your pictures. I'll get it for you.
Well, look at that. We'll look at the pictures afterwards.
He was the medical supply officer for this camp that I was staying. And we didn't know each other until almost last year he was there. And then after that, we stayed together about 12, 14 years. He was our captain. He had some pre-med. And when he got out, went on to medical school. So when I got out, I went into the basic college, because I didn't have any college there. So I was going to get a nursing, and I found out they would not let you take OB nursing. But I want to know more about it. They said, oh no, your course now is basic nursing, in which you have the theory of nursing. I said, heck, I had enough of that. I want to advance me. They said, that isn't the way the course is. I said, okay, all right. I said, thank you. And I think they were horrified, but at that time, you know which one you're going to have it. And I went over to this school, and I decided they would take something in arts and science. So I have a degree in medical technology or biological service. Mm-hmm. So I took 3 years, and then I took another year studying, got my BS in medical technology. But this is the same thing as the pre-med course. So I didn't realize it until the last year. I was in some of my classes with my husband. And I beat him in the one class. I just happened to know comparative anatomy a little better. He doesn't study for her. He's one of those geniuses. Looks at that book and plays bridge. Mm-hmm. But he gets it. I have to change it. And so I had medical technology, and I worked in a hospital after that. And all the time, I got out of the Army. I stayed in the reserve. I kept it all on, so I continued to serve for about maybe 10 years in the reserve.
But you were in the regular Army for how long?
It's about 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Just during the war and shortly thereafter?
Mm-hmm.
And then the reserves for about 5 years, and then the reserves for about 10?
So I retired. That would be when I aged 60.
When?
Age 50.
When you were 60.
I had to get out.
Okay. Okay. And at age 60 then, that was in 74? You were born in 1918,
no,
so it would be 78.
In the 80s.
Okay.
It's a little bit, see, my stroke got in there somewhere.
Yeah.
I have a little lapses where I can't remember. But I remember some of the things, but not all.
Mm-hmm.
I remember most of it.
Mm-hmm.
When I got in the hospital, some of it come back almost slowly, but my memory is good.
Good.
I'm surprised I didn't like the girls and overseas. I knew more. And you know, I belonged there about 10, 12 years.
Now, how did you get to be a colonel if you weren't in all that long?
I was in the reserves.
Through the reserves you got to be a colonel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And where were you in the reserves then?
That would be 55 right straight to about maybe 10, 12 years.
Mm-hmm. And where were you there? Where were you located there?
I was in Connecticut.
Back in Waterbury? Okay. Okay, then. Basically, then, after, during the reserve, though, you were involved with the regular training regularly?
Well, in the reserve, I was in a general hospital unit. And it's something like a 1,000-bed hospital. And at that time, these are the drugs from World War II, girls who don't do anything. They think they've conquered the world, and they weren't going to go to school. They just want the pay. And I was pretty hard on them, because I said, you go take some classes or go back in your profession, or you can't stay in the reserve, or you wouldn't be able to get promoted, most of that. And I became a chief mission, and I really pushed it because there's no sense that I couldn't get wood. And all the officers in the unit were World War II, and they didn't want to get back in civilian life, so they stayed in the military. And we made a wonderful team, good camaraderie. We liked each other, so we did things there. Mm-hmm. Well, we had so many jobs put on us by Army. First, we had a teacher corpsman. We had to start a teaching program. And since I was the only one who had a degree, I was working there, I was probably the best suited. But meantime, I just took it to heart because I love music, I love teaching, and I like the fellows. And we got together, and I knew their quirk. And a lot of them were med student age. And they're working their way through school. Some of them were going to college. I said, listen, fellows, you're going to have to spend a certain number of years. You might as well come in nursing and learn these procedures and then get promoted. I got so many of them promoted, made them non-cons, and they couldn't understand the difference. And I was catching on to what the men were doing because they can't all be cooks. And they loved it. And one particular time was good. We had an undertaker. He was kind of rigid. And he said, I can't do that. They're dirty. He said, you don't wear gloves. I said, you will wear gloves. After you see one, you gotta change your mind. I said, we're gonna have one next week, and I want you to come and take part. He's fascinating. He got to be a doctor. And he was one of the best corner, and he got promoted right up. And I tried to inspire them to help their career a little bit. And many of them just wanted to get over it, but they did their job. And they made the best non-com. So whenever I had them around them, they were wonderful because I went to dispensary one time, and all these boys had to stand up at attention when I came in. And he said, that's too soon. You have to fool yourself in. And they said, oh. And so I said, you mean that she's chicken kernel? And that was the first time I heard it. Chicken kernel? Well, that's really a very favorable name. For Colonel, especially a wife. Did you ever hear that before?
I've heard bird colonel, but not chicken colonel.
No, chicken. Because lady, what's it called? because she was a lady, so they wanted her for a and I thought that was so funny. So he would tell me, and I thought, well, that's great. Yeah.
Now, you were in the reserves back in Waterbury during that period. What were you doing the time that you were not in the reserves? You had a full-time job besides the reserves, didn't you?
Oh, I was about maybe 2 years. I was teaching in the school of nursing.
Oh.
I went to Indiana University. I taught about 3 or 4 years. And then when they were picking people to be advanced instructors, they picked their friends. So I decided I'd work up there if they're going to show favor to me. Then I went to General Hospital with a diploma program, and I knew some people there. They said, oh, what are you doing? I said, I'm bored. And they said, why don't you work for us? And I said, well, tell me what it is. And so I got a good job there. I stayed there about 3 years. And I went from job to job because I don't see any sense in staying if I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I got this job, Employers Insurance of Warsaw.
Employers Insurance?
Of Warsaw. Warsaw? Well, it's a world-famous insurance company. It's changing, and they call it Warsaw Story. And so that became the company.
How do you spell that?
W-A-U-S-A-U.
Okay.
It's in Warsaw, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Now you talk about cold. At first I thought, no, this isn't for me because I can't stand it. But I liked the work.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed there 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I never stayed here that long. But I kept staying on a year. I had a lot of friends there.
That was occupational nursing then?
Yeah, this was occupational plus regular nursing, and I did industrial medicine. I was teaching about silicosis, dust diseases, battery, and you go into lead industry. And somewhere else, I knew these things. And I gave a speech on it, and I said, oh, well, I didn't know you knew this. I said, well, I just sat in my lecture and I liked it. And so I taught them. And so as a result, I did most of the teaching that. I stayed because of that when I did nursing in the plant, or the factory.
Mm-hmm.
They have a request for a nurse to come in, show us how to do our record program, because at that time that new insurance meaningful enforcement by the United States where you could be fired or just fined for doing the wrong thing, like all silicosis, all those terrible diseases, is kind of fun where they're hold it down. So we went around teaching, and I did a lot of hearing education because I was kind of concerned about hearing. I worked about my own, so I listened more, and I knew the professor, and he taught me a lot. So we put on a school, and we taught nurses who would like to come in and our factory be insured.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a couple of doctors. He said, I didn't know what it was. I said, well, come in our class,
mm-hmm.
and we'll go over the basics, and they loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were good.
You were in the reserves then throughout all this time, on weekends and Mondays?
I worked out, so I took time off from one to go to the
other.
I'd have to leave.
Were you involved in any veterans organizations? Were you involved with veterans groups?
Veterans,
military veterans. Did you join any of the organizations other than WSL, Women's Overseas Service?
I didn't like them because I had a bad situation. The when I wanted to, they weren't interested in me.
Not women. They didn't want
and
women.
I thought, well, I didn't want them, they don't want me now. And I didn't like what they were doing there, all the rah-rah stuff. And no basic store of really medical work.
Do you think it was because you were a woman? Was that when they were not allowing women in?
Well, not only that, but the type of people they had. There's the rabble-rousing men who like to put time and like to talk. And that's so all they could do in their meetings, they talk, argue about things. And I didn't know nothing.
Well, I sure do appreciate your giving me all this information for the Library of Congress project. It's been very interesting. You had a great career, didn't you?
I had a wonderful career.
So,
because of my experience in the Army and my other jobs, all of them led to the point where I am now, where I know a lot of things about many things, and I hope this is put in to produce. And up to now, I haven't seen it, but I have known the people I've helped. Like, I do a lot of counseling and help them get to the right kind of profession.
So you're still doing nursing?
Yeah. I'm a recruiter.
Yeah.
I did that, and that's how I got the Legion of Honor.
Yeah.
I did that because I had a great big record in the period of 3 years, 3-4 years, I recruited 20 people, nurses as well as men,
good,
who were interested in the kind of work we had. And I go, what's that mean? So then I wrote a manual in Washington, and they looked at it.